Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Rakedash. This daf Mem Gimel, and we're holding at the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Let's start from the Tanur Rabbanan, which we did the first part of it yesterday, but let's do more of it today. Tanur Rabbanan, Techelet Ein La Bedika. There's no means to figure away whether this, it seems to mean, whether this is real Techelet or whether perhaps it's Kala Ilan. And because of that, Ein Nikachin Ela Min HaMumche. Since there's no way for you to actually test it, you're going to have to rely on the person that actually gave it to you, sold it to you, made it. And because of that, if we know that he can do it properly and he's trustworthy, we can buy it from him. Tefillin, on the other hand, do have, at least to some extent, a bedika, because we could check them for yicheserot v'yiterot, but they also can only be brought from a mumcha, because, remember, the idea of the ktiva is very nice, that we can check it, but there's too many other things that are involved. How do we know that it was actually ne'ebad lishma? We know that we have to do the ibud of the or, the skin has to be tanned originally, lishma shel tefillin. And because of that, how are we going to know that? We have to rely on the person that made it, that he knows it was ne'evad lishma. Sefarim u'muzuzot yesh lahem bedika. And you can check for chaserot, yeterot, and proper ktav in sefarim and mezuzas, and you can buy them actually from anybody. We need kachim, we call adam, because over there, according to Rashi says you don't need ibud lishma, which is lamaisa not the case, because we paskin that you do need ibud lishma in a sefer Torah. And therefore, Tosis's approach to this whole thing is entirely different. And he learns we're not concerned with our being fooled. Everybody understands that if you know that the din is, then people are going to do it properly. So the truth is that if we need to be bedek chaseras v'yaseras, you'd think that it would be the same thing, benogia a sefer Torah, and the tefillin. But again, since by tefillin, in order to be bedek the tefillin, you're going to have to go through an awful lot of work, because you have to open up the tefillin, and then you're going to have to remake them, and so on. So because of that, we're afraid, even if we let you buy it, and it has a way of being bedek it, the chances are that somebody's going to actually buy these beautiful tefillin and then rip them open and have to have them redone is very small. Mashenkin is sefer Torah and a mezuzah, you don't have to do anything. And so we assume that the person will check them himself or he'll have them checked by a mumcha. Okay, so today this is the new section that we didn't do yesterday. Asks the Gemara, how can you say that there's no way to check and to see whether your tchelet is actually tchelet instead of being kala ilan? Utchelet ein la bedika. We know that Rabbi Yitzchak Bereder of Yehuda used to be bodek it by using certain chemicals on and exposing it to those chemicals. And the simen is Geshem, and he would bring Magbia Gila, Umaya Deshav Lilta. Now, these are completely different ways of translating this according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, totally different. Rashi understands Magbia Gila to be essentially aluminum sulfate, which is called alum, or Maya de Shavlilta. He understands Shavlilta as referring to fenugreek. Mashenkin, the Rambam, understands that Gila simply means straw, which is what the way that we use Gila all over, and therefore you would bring a pile of straw. And Maya de Shavlilta, a Shavlilta is normally the word that we use for a slug. And the Maya de Shavlilta would mean the excrement that the slug makes as it's the mucus on the outside of the slug. You put those two together, mixed with Meme Raglayim Ben Arba'im Yom. You need urine that's been sitting around for 40 days, and that because of that is very strongly ammonia. And then you soak it there. Tori Le Begavayu, you put the trellis into it, thread, obviously, into it. Biur Tavat Safra, you leave it an entire night. And then in the morning, if Ifrit Chazute Pesula, so if it looks dimmer than it looked before. It's no longer as bright, the Treles. That's a sign that it wasn't really Treles and that it wasn't bound the way the Treles is bound, and that therefore it was indigo. But if lo yipareit chazute, if it looks just as bright, then it's kosher. And Rav Ada says a different test, kamei de Rava, and he quoted this from Rav Avira, and he said what you need to do is maite chamira arkas adesare. So you bring yeast that was made out of barley that became super chimutz, so it became, remember, sari doesn't really mean yeast the way we use the word now. It was sourdough, but it's a sourdough that's made out of seorim, and it was already going on the chimutz for so long that it's become mamish like a cake. You can buy those, but they're not really anymore. They're made from chemicals. And you put it into it, and you bake it inside the seorim. And then, if it's ishtanai l'ma'al yutan, over here, it's not a question of whether it was affected or not. It has to be affected. So if it's affected to be better than it was, and it's brighter, the treles, then that's a sign that it's kosher treles. If it was affected to be griuta, then it's possible. And if it looks worse than it did before, then it is clearly kala ilan. The way to remember this is that we're looking for ishtanoi, we're looking for shinoi, and there's two ways in which a person who made a claim, he can either, if he changes, he puts in a new claim, either he is shinoi, he's trying to cover up for his past claim, and then it's worse off usually than it was originally, because once you try to cover for lapses in your phony claim, things get worse. And if you put in a new claim in which you're ready to say what really happened, then you make a shinui, then that shinui would be recognizable as emet. But it means there's got to be something that is going to change. It's not just that it's going to remain the same. Ashen ken, the original test, that was not, and did not need any kind of shinui. So over here, we've got two possibilities for doing a bedika on trelet. So why did you say yesterday that the trelet ain la bedika? When we said ain la bedika, my ain la bedika, nami deka amre, we were talking about there's no way to know whether it was tested by somebody who didn't realize that if you put the trelet, you put a thread into the dye vat, that the whole dye vat becomes parcel. So it could very well be that it'll show up as being a 100% treles dye, but how do you know that that dye hadn't been tested before, or how do you know whether it itself was tested in order to know whether it was treles, in which case it wasn't done l'shem treles. It was done l'shem the dye. Like we said yesterday, we have to get rid of the piece of wool that we tested it with. Mr. Mar, this is his name, and he came from the town of Mashke, so they call him Mar. Aite techilta b'shnei Rav Acha. So he brought techeles, and this was at a time already that techeles was not benimtza. It was difficult to find real techeles, and therefore he wanted it to be sure that it was techeles. So he did the bedika that we mentioned, the chatchila, which was the bedika of Rav Yitzchak Bereder of Yehuda, which was the, like we said before, according to the Rambam, the mixture of straw, urine, and the mucus of the shavlilta, and it didn't make the test. Ifrat chazute, it went dimmer. Because of that, it looked like it was no good. So then he did the other test. He did Rav Ada's test. He baked it inside of the yeast or the sourdough that was made of barley and hardened, and it passed the test. And it looked very much nicer, ishtanoi l'mal yuta, which showed that it was trelet. So the people there that he brought it to ask the shaila, their initial response was, well, I mean, if it failed one of the tests, you can't rely on it as being trelet just because it passed the other test. So Rav Achai said to them that actually, what do you think? You obviously, Gavi, please mute, sweetheart. You obviously are making a mistake because, I mean, it can't be yes, trelet, and not Treles. It's either Treles or Kala Ilan. So now you have proven that it's neither Treles nor Kala Ilan. Because by passing the second test, you've proven that it's not Kala Ilan. And by failing the first test, you've proved that it's not Treles. So, I mean, that's a little bit absurd, isn't it? So what are you thinking? That Eloha, lo techel tehiva, lo Kala Ilani. So you think that this is neither? I mean, so what is it? So obviously, the point over here is that Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Ada are not alternative tests. They are actually staggered tests. So in other words, you first do the test of Rav Yitzchak or Rav Yehuda. If it passes that test, there's no need to further test it. If it fails that test, so this is a branching test. If it fails the first test, then you put it through the test of the baking, which was the second test. And the two are meant to be built one on the other. So Shmamina Shmuata Ahadani Itmar. These were said as branching. First you start with Badakna b'Rav Yitzchak b'Rabbi Yehuda. If it doesn't get any dimmer, so lo iprat chazuta, you don't have to test it any further. That is definitely a sign that it's kosher tcheles. If it fails that test and it's ifrat chazuta, then you take it to the second level. And bat kinele b'derev ada b'chamira arkisa, you do the hardened sourdough with barley. And then if ishtani lemalyuta kishera and legriyuta psula, and you'll see that it's going to be affected one way or another. So shinoi sheker or shinoi emes, and that you know that the test was performed properly. It's either going to get better or it's going to look worse. And the truth is, sholchu mitam from Eretz Yisrael, they sent a message that shmuata ahadade itmar, and that these two tests were actually built one on the other. They're not alternatives. They were set together so that Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Ada were meant to be a branching series of tests. Rav Mani, he was very medayik in how he would handle the tcheles. And he, even though he used to actually deal with other people, and he was, the pashtus is, according to Rashi, that he was cheshesh, that it was not done, the tcheles wasn't done lishma. Now, the thing is that the things that he's doing are not particularly amazing chassidus, in which case, according to Rashi, the Gemara doesn't actually seem to make sense that now Eliyahu Navi should come to him and Amar Lehu Saba, you know, I knew your great-grandparents, and they did the same thing, and they were very matzliach in their business. I'm like, what does business have to do with it? And what is Eliyahu Hanavi coming along to say that somebody who did the Pashat Adin to check the treles, so because of that, he gets the special schus? Obviously, something is weird about the Gemara, according to the way Rashi is learning. So there actually, the Muki Yosef learns that the Rav Mani was not doing this for himself. Rav Mani was actually in business. That's the point. And his business was that he was selling treles, and that basically he wanted to make sure that even though he did test the treles himself, he didn't want to rely on that. He wanted to also know that it was done by someone that is a mumcha, and that someone that is completely trustworthy, because just to rely on a test which is done ex post facto did not satisfy his feelings of needing to protect the customer. Sometimes he didn't do the test right, you know, and because of that, he wanted to buy it from someone that he knew was 100% reliable. So because of that, he was always medaktek, v'zavin k'chumre matiyata. He went according to the chumre that we said over here, you can only buy tcheles from a mumcha, and when he sold tcheles, even though he knew Alpi the test it was Chelas, he didn't rely on it. Because of that, Ahu Saba, Eliyahu Hanavi, comes to him and say, this, your great-grandparents were actually also dealers in Chelas like this, and they were in business, and they did the same Chumrah, and I want you to know that they had a fantastic business because of it. They were very Matzliach, and you should be Matzliach as well. Tana Rabbana, somebody goes to a store, and he buys a talit mitzuyetzet. So now, the question is, did he go to a store, or did he buy it from somebody who approached him in the marketplace and say, how would you like to buy a pair of treles? So now the question is, can you trust him? He buys it from a Jew. So, mi Yisrael, areu b'cheskata. We assumed that this was made properly. If a Jew made it, so we assume that he knows what he's doing and it's kosher tzitzis. What about if he buys it in Walmart? So now the question is, are Walmart tzitzis kosher? Now, if he buys it from a store that has a real business, he's a tagar, and he cannot afford, this is a halacha that we find in many places, that people that are running businesses or people who are making their money out of an expertise in which they're being paid for their expertise are not going to mess up their future. And therefore, you trust them, even though you don't trust them personally. You trust the possibility of their losing their medical license or their ruining the reputation of the store and so on. That's what you're trusting. So in the case, if it's a goy, so if you buy it, min hatagar, so then he cannot afford to be found out as selling Chinese, you know, trelas, and he'll lose everything. So therefore, you can trust him. But if you stand by it from somebody, a goy, and he's not going to have anything much to lose, so then we have no idea whether these are kosher. Forget about the tchelas. I mean, we wouldn't even know whether the tviyah was done lishma on the lovan. And because of that, you wouldn't be able to use it. So, af al pi she'amru, ein adam reshay limkor talit mitziyat tzitlo avit kochavim, ad she'atir tzitziyoteha. So even though you'd think that, well, where in the world would this goy have gotten a real talit from? I mean, it's not as if the Chinese were in business to just duplicate everything. He would have had to buy it from a Jew. And as we're going to see, Chazal made a takona that no Jew is allowed to sell tzitzit to a goy. We'll see why that's true. So then why do we have to worry that this was made by anyone but a Yisrael, since only Yisrael were the ones who would be making the tzitzit? Why? Because you never know. You know, somebody might have, just because we said you're not allowed to. And why did we make this gezeira? My timer that you can't sell tzitzit? So, halacha tirgumun. Here, in this case, it's not clear what here is, because both seem to be from Bava. It could be different yeshivas in Bava. So here, the metargim is that it's because of a zona. So there's two possibilities because of a zona. One is that a goy, if you allow him to buy your tzitzit, he may put himself forward as a Jew and then be able to be a customer in a Jewish whorehouse. They're not going to allow goyim into a nice kosher Jewish whorehouse, will they? So therefore, he's got to be wearing tzitzis, and he's got to look like he's really frum. Otherwise, why would he be allowed in? Now, that was one approach. The other approach is that it could be, Rashi brings both pshat, but the other approach is that we're afraid that maybe that goy will give the talit as payment to a non-Jewish whore, and then she'll go around claiming that this religious Jew, some guy by the name of Epstein or something, he went around and he gave his tzitzit, you know, all kinds of bubba mises. And so because of that, we don't want to give them an opportunity. Rav Yehuda, now, there was another mise with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Amar, Shema Yitlave Mo Baderach. There's another reason. We do not want a goy to have tzitzit because he may be a mechabel. How do you know he's not a chamasnik? He'll put on a tzitzit, and then he'll, you know, pretend to be a religious guy who's thumbing for a ride, and then he'll kill you. So it may well be, I mean, obviously it's not necessarily to kill you. He could sell you non-kosher food, whatever. But the point is, we don't want goyim masquerading as Israel.
So that's exactly that in 2012, the three boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shema Yitlaveimo Baderach V'Yargeno. Yes, it's a big part of Hamas technique. Rav Yehuda, Romi Techilta Lefajuma Din Shebeite. So Rav Yehuda, he would actually put on tcheles on his wife's aprons. And he apparently held that women are chayoves in tzitzit. Another thing that he did was every morning he would make a new bracha of Lehisatev B'tzitzit. And these two things seem to be contradictory. Why? Because if he put the tcheles into his wife's aprons, so he obviously held that this is a mitzvah asei shelo azman grama. He must have held that you're mechuyev to wear it, your tzitzit even at night, which means that this would be a mitzvah that women are chayavot in, right? Because it's a 24-hour mitzvah, it's like any other mitzvah asei, and the only mitzvah that nashim are peturei san are mitzvah asei shazman gorman. So if that's true, and he held that he's mechuyev in tzitzit all night long, then why did he make a new bracha on the tzitzit every day? Amay mevarech kol tzafra v'tzafra. Basically, he would be mevarech wherever he puts on a new talit. But if he put on, let's say he put on this beged a week ago, and he's been wearing the beged continually, so then why would he, I should say continuously, why would he make a new bracha? He put it on. He made a bracha when he put it on. You don't make a bracha until you take it off. I mean, so what's the point of saying, of making a new bracha every single morning? If it's a new mitzvah every single morning because there's no mitzvah tzitzit balayla, then it makes sense that he makes a new bracha every morning. But if he was wearing his tzitzit the whole time, why should he make a bracha dafka every morning? Ah, Rebbe is the answer. Rebbe Yehuda held like Rebbe's shita in the Braita, which is, he was talking about tefillin, but the idea is the same. The Tanya, tefillin, kozman shemi nichan mevarech aleihem. So even though you made a bracha on your tefillin in the morning, if you take them off during the day sometime, so even though you were still chayiv in the mitzvah the whole time, the hefsek in the mitzvah is mechayiv you in a new bracha. So because of that, if he holds like Rebbe, he says the same thing would be true about tzitzit. So I don't understand. How does that help you? What does it have to do with making a bracha every morning? It would be a bracha every time, whenever that is. I mean, every time he puts on tefillin, every time he would put on a new talit. But what would it have to do with the morning? I mean, if he took off his talit, maybe he didn't want to wear his talit in the bathroom. He took off his talit. Then if it would be 10 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he wouldn't make a bracha. It has nothing to do with the morning. It just has to do with whenever he would put on the talit. So you're not helping much by saying he holds like Rebbe. It does not explain his behavior. The idea of putting it on only in the morning seems quite clear. He held there was no mitzvah in the night, and so mimeila, this is the beginning of a new mitzvah. But then if he held there was no mitzvah in the night, why did he insist on his wife to wear tzitzit? I still don't get it. Well, no, that was a logistical issue. Rav Yehuda was an inish tzaniah having. He was a very tzaniah person. He didn't change his clothes during the day and so on. He would put on his clothes. V'lo shari le l'glime kula yume. He would not take off his beged. So let's assume it was a talit katan. So he was wearing this talit katan the whole day. He wore it at night as well. So I don't get it. Then why in the morning? I mean, if you're telling me that it's just a function of putting on something that he didn't wear at night, and what he did wear at night, he didn't have to make a bracha, but then I'm not understanding why he made it in the morning. I mean, the morning implies when the new time of the chiyuv tzitzit is. I mean, but Rav Yehuda, he certainly didn't wait until the morning. I mean, Rav Yehuda got up before Amud HaShachar. He was learning like any normal person. So when he put on his clothes in the morning, it was not morning. It was night. So why does it say mitzafra? Mitzafra means after sunrise. He must have been up before that. Why didn't he put on and make a bracha at that time? Yeah, because that's because he was wearing kimishani miksut laila l'ksut yom. He wore, the whole time he was wearing, a talit katan. He woke up early in the morning, and he continued to wear it. So he's not going to make a new bracha because he didn't put anything on. Now, he's getting dressed to go outside. He puts on his choshev clothing with a beautiful talit on the outside, and on that, which he did not wear at night, since he holds like Rebbe, he made a bracha because now it was a new beged that he was putting it on. So kimeshani miksut laila l'ksut yom. That was when he put it on. But enochinami, he held that the chiyuv was to wear it the whole time. So here is the machloket. Is a woman chayevet betzitzit or not? Tana rabbanan, hakol chayavin betzitzit, kohanim, levi'im, v'yisraelim. Everybody has to wear tzitzit. Doesn't matter if you're a Kohen Levi or Yisrael, which doesn't seem to be much of a Chiddush, but we'll see. The Gemara is going to explain what the Chiddush is in that. Gerim, Nashim, Va'avadim. So here it says, women also, according to the Tanna Kamma. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, women are pturot because tzitzit is only a mitzvah during the daytime. And therefore, it's a mitzvah sase shazman gorma. The whole mitzvah tase shazman gorma, as we know, nashim are pturot, and therefore, this is a classic case where a woman does not have to wear tzitzit. All right, can we start at this at the beginning? It's, I don't get what you said. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, I should hope so. I mean, if Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim are not chayev, who is chayev? So, upshita. Di Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, or Potter, tell me who would be chayev. So, ma'am chayev? No, the chiddush is that even Kohanim are chayev in tzitzis. Why wouldn't they be chayev in tzitzis? Because salka da'atech amina. Hoyo v'chtiv. Lo tilbar sha'atnez tzemer upishtim yachdav gedilim ta'aselach. The Torah has made the two interrelated. So we were talking about the interrelationship in terms of whether the essay of the tzitzis is the chaloloitase of sha'atnez and when it is, and that's been like the thing that we've been focusing on the whole time. But there's another implication of that, because it seems to be saying that we're talking to a set of individuals who would be chayiv in lotio bashanes, and we're telling those individuals that when it comes to tzitzit, nonetheless gedilim ta'aselach, right? But to kohanim, we can't tell them not to wear sha'atnez, because the avnet of the begadim of the kohen was made out of sha'atnez, because it was both techelet and shes, it was boots. So if you're somebody who's not included in that overall azora lolto bashatnez, the Kohen will say, well, you don't mean me. Samandalo ishtere kalayim legabe bilavisha, who de mechayev betzitzit? Only someone who does not have any heter to wear kilayim on the clothing that he wears that are not tzitzit. So he is the one who is chayev in tzitzit. But the kohanim, ani kohanim ol v'ishter kilayim legabayu, since the bigdei kohuna of necessity or mechayev in any way, he's supposed to be wearing in the clothing that he wears to work, so to speak. So these are his work clothes. So he shouldn't be mechayev in tzitzit because he's not mechayev in kilayim. Therefore, the chiddush of the Braita is that nonetheless, he is chayev in kilayim. And that's the point. Not nonetheless you're chayev in tzitzis, mind you. But that the idea is true. If, in fact, you wouldn't be chayev in kilayim, you would not be chayev in tzitzit. This is an important thing to recognize. And I'll talk about it soon. And the idea, therefore, is that if it were the case that kohanim were supposed to be wearing their big dekuna all the time, you'd be right. But they're not wearing their big dekuna all the time. And believe it or not, they do wear clothes even where they don't wear big dekuna. And those clothes, they cannot be wearing kilayim. So they have the same issue of kilayim in their other clothes. Don't tell me they're not included in kilayim. So nihidi ishtere bi idan avodah, below idan avodah lo ishtere, they are not allowed to wear their clothes at other times. So the question is, what does this mean? Does it mean dafke b'shas avoda? This is a big machlokas rishonim, in which some of the rishonim say that unless a kohen is actually doing an avoda, he has to remove his begadim, which is very strange. I mean, because he can't constantly be Isaac in actual doing avoda. I mean, he's walking between one avoda and another avoda. He's waiting for a pious. I mean, it doesn't make sense. What's he supposed to do? So those rishonim explain that lo nitna teira lamalach yashores, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes the normal time that it would take you to remove your clothing if you're not doing avod at that particular moment. That's how the Rosh understands it, that it's based on lo nitna teira lamalach yashores. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that it doesn't make any sense. When it says be'idan aveda, it doesn't mean while he's actually doing the aveda. It means while you are in the Beis HaMikdash at a time where you may be called upon for Aveda. So you don't have to take off your big dekuna immediately if you're not called upon to do a particular Aveda at that moment, Well, that makes much more sense in practicalities. So when it says below Idan Avoda, it doesn't mean while he's not doing Avoda. It means if it's not a time in which the Beis HaMikdash is open for Avoda, or he's not there, then he is obviously going to be chayev in Kilayim like anybody else. And he's got to wear his normal clothing, which cannot be Kilayim. Now, you said that Rabbi Shimon says that women are potter. So how does he know? Where does it say, only put on your tzitzit in the daytime? I mean, if he says women are potter, it's obvious that he holds that it's a mitzvah to say, shazman gorma. So where does it say that? Oh, so that is a fascinating machlokas about how to understand the uri itemoto, the Tanya. Since it says, benogeh your tzitzit, uri itemoto. So what does that mean? You have to see them. So that implies that it needs to be something that is worn for seeing, which means that if it's ksut laila, and it's meant, so this is, again, you know, big machlokas if we're talking about begodim that are meant for the laila, or if it's at the time of the laila, or if it means both. But if it's worn at a time where it's not seen, and there's no re'itemoto, so then that's not what the Torah wants you to be putting your tzitzit in. And therefore, if it's something that is not meant to be seen, so then either because it's not worn outside, it's a beggar that's worn at night, or because it literally is night, then it would still not be chayv. And then the question is, what makes you say that it has to be seen? Maybe it means, atarmeh prat leksud laila. Maybe it means that the individual who is wearing the tzitzit has to be able to see that. Isn't that more likely? So that would mean that if it says uri temoto, that if someone is blind, he would not be chayev in wearing tzitzit. So maybe that's the way to read it. Ah, but remember that we have an extra pusik. That extra pusik says, Gedilim ta'aseh loch al arba kanfot kisutcha. It could end right there, right? Al arba kanfot kisutcha. I mean, for the Torah to explain that when I say kisutcha, I mean asher t'chaseba. Obviously, asher t'chaseba. What else is the meaning of kisut? So those words, asher t'chaseba, is obviously a riboy. Anything which you would be using to be mitkaseh with. So what is that necessary for? That's telling me, if you can cover yourself with it, it doesn't matter whether you can see it or not. So therefore, someone who is blind, he is covered with asher t'chaseba, no barnia, and he is going to be actually wearing it, and that's sufficient. So it can't be coming to be motzi kisut of a suma. So what must it come to? Tell me, prat l'ksut laila, and it's telling me that laila is essentially Lavzman tzitziti. So kishuom asher t'chaseba, harei ksut suma amar. Amur, amani mekayim uri itemoto, prat l'chsut laila. So that's got to mean nighttime. Well, wait a second. That's very arbitrary. I mean, basically, you have a riboy and a miut. So you have a riboy that says asher t'chaseba, no matter what, and you have a miut that says uri itemoto. And you're telling me that what I'm going to use this for is to teach me that the riboy means that somebody who can't see and therefore you'd think was not included because of ritemoto, the prat, the suma. No, he's included because it says ritemoto t'chaseba. Masha inking sus laila, it says ritemoto. But doesn't it say asher t'chaseba? Yes, but that was referring to the suma. I don't understand what made you pick it that way. I mean, it seems very arbitrary to me. You're saying that Mara Yita L'Rabot Ksut Suma V'Lotzi Ksut Laila. I mean, why is it so obvious to you that it makes more sense to include in the Chiyav is talking about the Ksut Suma, and in the Ptur, you're telling me Ksut Laila. Maybe it's the opposite. I don't understand where you get it from. Makes perfectly good sense. Marbe Ani Ksut Suma Sheyesh Nabri'i Yitzel Acher. It makes far more sense to view the Chiyuvim or the miyutim or the ribuyim of the Torah in a universal context rather than in a personal context. So it makes more sense to say that we're referring to the type of begodim or the time of the begodim rather than to the particular individual. So because of that, marba anik sutsuma, sheyeshna b'riya etzo acherim. Other people can see this. So in terms of the universal, it is uritem oto. And therefore, it makes sense that it would be included. I could talk about the universality of what ri'item oto means in terms of a time of ri'iyah or at times in terms of a beged that's meant for those times of the ri'iyah. Okay, so this is why Rabbi Shimon said that this is a mitzvah that does not apply at night. If it doesn't apply at night, then it's a mitzvah that says shazman gorma, and therefore nashim would be peturot. So, the other Tana said that the women are chayavot. So Noshim, talked about over there, Karnim, Levim, Yisraelim, Noshim. So what do they hold? I mean, obviously, they hold that we don't darshan these psukim the way that Rabbi Shimon just darshaned it. So how do they deal with these? The Rabbanan in the Braita that said that Noshim are part of the Chiv, just like Karnim, Levim, Yisraelim. Hayashet Chaseba. My Avdila. So how do they explain Asher Tachaseba? That they learn for another Chiyuv. Yiboilut L'kidet Tanya. Take a look at this Braita, and you'll see how we understood those Miyutim Ribuyim. It says in the Pasuk, you should gedilim ta'aselach al arba kanfot kesutcha. So it says four. It means you're only Chayiv if a Ksut has four, but not if you only have a three-cornered Ksut, v'lo shalosh. Well, how do you know that it means v'lo shalosh? Atah omer arba v'lo shalosh. Maybe it means arba v'lo chamesh. Maybe it means anything up to and including four. Once it's more than that, then it looks ridiculous. We don't want you to put on tzitzit on every single corner. Maybe that's what it means. Well, since the Torah added all those extra words, kesutcha, ashet chaseba, I mean, what's that supposed to mean? So ashet chaseba obviously expands the envelope of what kind of kesut we're talking about, and therefore it's including arei ba'alat chamesh amur. Hama ani mikayem, when it says the words al arba kanfot, that must mean arba velo shalosh. So we got the same problem over here. We're using the ribuy of ashet chaseba to include five, and the miut of arba to exclude three. Maybe it's the other way around. So umara ita l'rabot ba'alat chamesh ulotzi ba'alat shalosh. So what is it that makes you think that you should include a chiev on a beged that has five corners, but exclude a beged that has three corners? What makes you see it that way? Because, obviously, mar ba'ani ba'alat chamesh, sheyesh bichlal chamesh arba. It makes more sense to say that if you've got a five-cornered beged, it's also a four-cornered beged. The fact that you added a corner should not be a reason to potter it. And I'm going to exclude the ba'alat shalosh because it wasn't yet a beged that became chayiv. Because ein bichlal shalosh arba, three, doesn't include four. That's why. Moshe, did you... You wanted to raise an issue?
Yeah. Asher techaseba. How come we don't learn from there that it's like a chiyuv only on the gavra, not on the chefza kind of thing? That would be better.
Why would it be?
Because it's only when you're wearing it.
No, asher techaseba is what kind of ksut? The type of ksut, asher techaseba, is chayiv, wherever, whether it's in a drawer, whether it's on your bed, you know, yourself. It's not necessarily while you're wearing. Dafket sounds much more like it's defining. When I say ksutcha, I mean the type of ksut, asher techaseba. But if it's not suitable for techaseba, then there's no chiyuv. But it's no indication that it's talking about while you're wearing it. Right? It's just defining this set of clothing we're talking about.
Clothing, not towels, for instance.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So now, Rabbi Shimon just used the Asher Techaseba to tell me that a ksut suma is included. So then he doesn't have the pasuk of Asher Techaseba to be marbe the Baalat Chamesh, right? So how does he know it? Ah, Rabbi Shimon, he says, Asher Techaseba. So Techaseba is a ribui, and Asher Techaseba, instead of Sher Techaseba, is also an extra word. That extra Asher seems to be broadening it even more. And so according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be coming to tell me the din of a beged, Baalat Chamesh. So why didn't the Rabbanan learn it from them? Because they didn't see that as being extra. Asher lo mashmu. Okay, but you haven't explained what the Rabbanan do with the Ri'itemoto. Because that was the source of the idea that it's Prat Miksud Laila, which would mean that Laila loves Mantzitzit. And that would be the basis of the fact that it's called Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Girama and Minoshim would be Beturot. So how do they understand the Ri'itemoto since they hold that Noshim are Chayavot? Ah, they learned that to teach me something else. Rebar Lutnik in Natanya. Ri'itemoto uzchartem. When you see your tzitzit, you are going to remember something. What are you going to remember? Re'e mitzvah zo, uzuchor mitzvah acheret hatluyabo. When you see this mitzvah, you're going to remember, oh my gosh, it's time to say Kriyat Shema. Ve'eze zo, zo Kriyat Shema. What's the relationship? That's fine. Me'ema taikorin et Shema b'shacharit, mi shiakir ben tchelet l'lavan. So the very moment that you see these tzitzit, you say, oh my gosh, this is the fact that I'm looking at these tzitzit and I'm seeing the tchelet and the lavan, that is the time that's ma'orer me for Kriyat Shema. So it's Mishi Yakir ben Tchelet Lavan. So that's the zechira that is dependent in the tzitzit. It's one approach. Another brayta says, V'tanya idach uri'itemoto uzchartem. Re'e mitzvah zo uzechor mitzvah acheret asmuchala. When you look at this mitzvah and you see the tchelas and the lavan together, you are going to remember Zu mitzvahs kelaim, dechtiv lo tilbash sha'atneiz, tzemro pishtim yachtav, gedilim ta'aselach. So you will be brought into an awareness of the mitzvah of sha'atneiz, which is central to this mitzvah. So remember that we saw before, I said to you, we'll see later on the centrality of the sha'atneiz issue, in which somebody, if it wouldn't be that kohanim, would be wearing regular clothes at some time in the day, then they would be putter totally from tzitzit because they would have no involvement in the mitzvah of shatnez, which is a remarkable thing. So it means that this is not, the smichus is not just the smichus to tell me the din that tzitzit is docha shatnez. It tells me the whole concept of tzitzit. And if you don't have that issue in mind, then you're not chayav in tzitzit at all, which that makes sense in light of this gemara, doesn't it? You'll see this mitzvah, and you will realize, based on this mitzvah, the primacy of the issues of lo til bashatnez. I mean, that's crazy. That's like a completely new way of understanding the full interrelationship of the shatnez issues with tzitzit. We're going to see, if I have an opportunity to speak to you today about it, that this is actually the reason that Hatchelas appears in Menachos. And it's the deepest reason for what Hatchelas is doing here and why it's so central to understanding Menachos. Okay, another brisa. Tanya Yidach. Uri'item oto uzechartem et kol mitzvah. Uritem oto uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, kivan shenitchayev adam b'mitzvah zo, nitchayev b'chol mitzvot kulam. So once you're chayev in this mitzvah of tzitzit, that will remind you because that's the moment of your becoming chayev in all of the mitzvahs. How would that be? Ah, that would be true according to Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says, look, since this is a mitzvah saseh, shazman gorma, so that means once you're chayav even in this mitzvah, and this mitzvah requires like a full daybreak, and the mishayakir betelas and lovan, if you're chayav in this mitzvah, you're chayav in all of the mitzvahs, even those like almost all of the mitzvahs that we have that require a din in the yom. So whether you're talking about your tefillin that you'd be chayav in your kriyat shema that you'd be chayav in. So once you're chayav in this mitzvah, then you can be sure that now you've become chayav in all of the mitzvahs. Now Rashi has another pshat. And Rashi says that if you became chayav in tzitzit, then that is, if you are a male, in other words, then that's the sign that you are chayav in all mitzvot, and there's no difference between a mitzvah saseh zman gorma and a mitzvah saseh that is not zman gorma. But if you're not chayav in tzitzit, then you're not mechuyav in all of the mitzvot. Now, that would be a basis for the idea of the centrality that a talit plays in certain segments, that a talit plays in a bar mitzvah. Because the way Rashi is saying, if this child is given a talit and he appreciates the fact that he's chayev in this mitzvah, if he's chayev in this mitzvah, then es kol mitzvot Hashem, uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, because it means that as opposed to the bat mitzvah girl next door, who's not mechuyevet in kol mitzvot Hashem, you are. So that's another pshat in Rashi. And it would be going according to Rabbi Shimon, who would say that this mitzvah saseh, shazman gorma, and therefore a woman would be patura. So that would be the second approach to this.
Would that also be why tzitzis for an upsherness is so important for the three-year-old as part of the knisa to already put on tzitzis as opposed to just in it for mitzvahs?
Could be, yeah.
Does this only work if you're not chayvin tzitzis at night? Yeah, you know, make these kind of dreshes?
Yeah, because otherwise it's not a simon to all of the mitzvahs. It has to be mitzvahs that say shazman gorma.
So it's an amazing thing that every day we get this, you know, zechila. I mean, it's mamish. I'm like, every day we come into this.
That's what the Gemara is. Yeah, that's making that point. That's the whole meaning of the Zecharata. That's the Ritemoto. These are all answers. So what does Ritemoto mean? Ritemoto only means the Zecharata. Another brighter. Ritemoto is Zecharata mit kol mitzvot Hashem. That means shekula mitzvah zo keneged kol mitzvot kulam. If you're going to remember Zechartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, so this has to be the mitzvah that is shakul, like all of the mitzvahs. So again, this is like the famous, you know, we talked about this before, the gematria of tzitzit, that the gematria of tzitzit, if it's b'ksav mole, so the gematria of the word tzitzit is 600, and then we add the additional 8 tzitzit, and we had the additional, that's why we spoke earlier about requiring the 5 ksharim, so that it should equal 613, which is obviously a very cheapo way of remembering the idea. And that's what I want to talk to you about when we finish the daf. What is the real meaning of this? Because, I mean, why in the world is it that important? And when we understand why it's important, then I think it explains the whole Perek HaTcheles. But this is why it's Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvot Kulam. V'tanya Yirach, and there's another drasha also. Ure'item Oto U'zechartem V'asitem. So this teaches us that Re'ia makes you aware. And once you're aware, that makes you move and makes you actually take a stand in life and do things. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Re'item Oto U'zechartem Kol Hazoris B'mitzvah Zu Zochel Mekabel Pnei Shechina. It's the Oto that's the issue over here. Because Oto, remember we pointed out that Oto is weird. I mean, we're talking about like something that should be Otam. You know, we're talking about the Levan and the Tcheles. We're talking about the Knafot. And I mean, like the whole thing was B'loshan Rabim. And now all of a sudden, and every time you say Kriyat Shema, this sort of, you get confused. Hey, really? Oto? Maybe it should say Otam? I know I have done like, what are you, Oto? So what is that Oto? So says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Oto is a reference to the Shechina, because K'tivacho Ritem Oto, U'K'tivatam Et Hashem Elokecha Tira, V'Oto Ta'avod. So Oto is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias. And therefore it's Merames, which of course is part of the word even of Tzitzit, because the word Metzitz is the word for the Shechina, Metzitz Ben HaCharakim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Mashgiach. Sometimes you don't recognize it, but is always Metzitz Ben HaCharakim, and the Hashgacha is always there. Tana Rabbana, Chavivin Yisrael Shesivavan HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds Klal Yisrael with mitzvot, tefillin on the head, tefillin on the arm, tzitzit on the begodim, and on all four corners, mezuzah on your doorway. V'aleim amar David, sheva b'yom hilalticha mishpatei tzidkecha. All these seven mitzvahs, the four tzitziot on the side of the beged, and the tefillin on the rosh, and the tefillin on the arm, which is six, and then the mezuzah lapetach, on those sheva mitzvahs, I give you halal every day for protecting us. There he is going into a bathhouse. There's no mezuzah on the door of a bathhouse. There's no tefillin on his hands. There's no tefillin on his head. There's no tzitzis on his body. He was miserable, oily. How is it possible she'amod aron below mitzvah? I should be standing here without any mitzvahs like an animal? The moment that he remembered, I'm always clothed in mitzvahs because I'm Nimo. And the Achash Yatza, when he went outside and he was allowed to compose the Divrei Torah, Amar Ale Ashira, Shenemar Lam Natseach Al Hashminit, Mizmor LeDavid. What's the song? Amila Shenitina Bashmini. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ko sheyesh lo tefillin barosho, tefillin bizra'o, v'tzitzit bibigdo. Umizuzah bepitcho, somebody who's surrounded by these seven mitzvahs, hakol b'chizuk shelo yecheta, shenemar v'achut ha-mishulash, lo b'meira yinatek. So the tefillin and the tzitzis and the mezuzah, it's like a eternal braid that doesn't get easily cut. V'yomer chone malach Adonai saviv l'reyav v'yechaletzim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malach surrounds you. That's the malach of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. Tanya Hayar Rabbi Meir omer, Ma nishtama techelet mikol minei tzivonim. Why would the Torah select dafka techelet, which is so difficult to get? I mean, there's so many things that you can use. I mean, you can use kala yuan. It's the same color. Well, it's Mipnesha Trelas Domela Yam, and the Yam is Domela Rakia, and the Rakia is Domela Terekise Akovid, Shinema Vetachat Raglav, Kema Selivinata Sapir, Uche Etzema Shamayim Latohar. So this explains why it is that this coloration, which is similar to the edge of space, which reminds us of the Kise Akovid, in which beneath the Kise Akovid we have the Etzema Shamayim Latohar. Because it says, Kemare even sapir demut kisei. So because of that, when you see the treles, you're reminded of all of this aliyah from bottom to top. And it's as if you become aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oimed v'yeshev al kisei hakavod. Tanya, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, somebody who doesn't wear lavan has a greater onesh than someone who isn't wearing treles. Because Mashal Ma Davar Dome, Lamelach Basar Adam Shamar L'Shnei Avadav, remember that they used to wear on the Avodim Gufa, they used to have a chotam that would indicate that this individual is the Eved of so-and-so. So the Melach says to one of his Avodim, bring me a chotam shel tit, which is easy to make. You can get one of those at any do-it-yourself, what do they call those things where you go in there and you make your own little kalim. You bring the kids there. I forgot what they call it. Anyway, so you said bring
craft, art and craft.
Yeah, but there's a special word. I forgot what it's called.
Not DIY. DIY, do it yourself. Silicate pottery.
Yeah, something to do with pottery, but I don't remember what it is. Anyway,
the place
so
New Shalim was called Kad Vachomer. That's where we all went.
Oh, yeah, that
was the place. Kad Vachomer.
Kad Vachomer, yeah. So he says to the Eved, I want you to put on one of those chotams with my name. You can make it out of anything. You make it out of simple teat. The other one, he says, get a chotam shel zahav, which is not easy for Eved to get. Neither of them brought their chotamot. So who do you think the king is going to be angry at more? It's so easy to get the lavan. So therefore, you didn't even bother getting the lavan. You're going to have a bigger einish for not bringing the lavan. Tanya, I'm thinking maybe we should wait. No. Because it's late. Okay, it's part of this daf, so we should finish it. Tanya, Ayur Rabbi Meir Omer. So once we said, well, with Rabbi Meir, so we bring also this, even though it doesn't seem to be directly nogea, but chayev adam levarech mea brachot b'chol yom. Shneimar, v'yata Yisrael, ma Hashem alokech ha-shael mi'imach. Read that Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach as if it's Me'ah. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be Mevorech Me'ah Pa'amim Bayom, which is normally the way that Chazal were actually Mitakein Brachot. Because if you look at the normal Brachot in a day, they equal 100 Brachot as a given. Because if you start off including the Bircha Halayla of Hamapio before you go to sleep, which is already part of the next day, and it's talking already about waking up, Shita Amideni L'Shalom, so you've got Hamapio, then you wake up in the morning, you immediately do Alatilat Yadayim, and then you do Asher Yatzar, and then you do Olokai, Neshama Shenatatabi, and then you have Birchas HaTera, which is actually three separate brachas, if you consider it, including the ending. And then you have Baruch Sha'amar, and then you have Yishtabach, and then you have all of the Birchas Kriyashma, Bayom, Birchas Kriyashma, Balayla, and then you have three times 19 brachas of Shemona Esrei, which is another 57, that's major. And then you've got a bracha on your Seudas, you make and then if you also have to do Alatilas Yadayim, and then you've got four brachas and birchas hamazon, and we assume you'll go to the bathroom. So if that's the case, they range the day that you'll have mea brachas. The problem is, what happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, you lose so many of those brachas because you don't have the chasri brachas of your Shemona Esrei. Unless, of course, you daven an art scroll sitter, then they have Shemona Esrei for Shabbos. God help us. Yeah. Okay. But if you don't have the advantage of having Shemona Esrei for Shabbos, what a total nituk from the Hometzias of Tefillah. The Shemona Esrei of Shabbos. It's beyond belief. Anyway, so what do you do then? So it's Rabbi Chia Berei the Rav Avya. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, he wanted to make sure that he was Yotze Mea Brachas. So Torach, he would go out of his way and make sure that he had his parmiki, and a lot of pharmaceutical spices and things that he could make a bracha on this Bisomi. And Magde with Magdaniot. So he would have all kinds of nice cakes and things that he would snack on. And
Shabbos treats,
exactly. So he would have his Shabbos treats, Magdaniot, and he would be Mamale, the Chiev, with that. That, of course, is Mashma, that he didn't eat Shalant, because then he would be Mamale with Asher Yatzar another 10 times, which makes up for a lot. All right. Anyway, so that's what he used to do. So now, I don't know if I should take more and more of your time. I want to discuss a little bit of the Trelas issue. So, I mean, the Rabbeinu Bachya actually points out that we don't realize the chashivas of Kol Mitzvot Hashem because we don't properly understand the relationship of the mitzvah to Tzemer Upishtim. And the main issue is the idea of the Tzemer Upishtim. And that's why the Torah put it together. That's why we see throughout this sugya today, I mean, unbelievable things about the relationship of the Tzemer Upishtim Yachdav to the Tchelis. So, I mean, he doesn't explain very much. He says that obviously the gematria is just something that's cute for you know, Amoratzim to remember. They can say over a gematria, you know, so it equals 613. But what's really going on? Well, so he says, if you understand the nature of Tzemer Upishtim Yachdav, then you will understand the idea bichlal of what's happening over here. So the Tzemer Upishtim Yachdav, remember, is two completely different ways in which humanity developed, right? It goes back to the machlokes of Cain and Hevel. Is the Iker avoda of a human being supposed to be an avoda with animals? So it has to do with the development of animal life onto Adam? Or is the Iker avoda sa Adam actually focused on the Sada? Now, this, of course, this became two completely different elements in human evolution, in which those who focused on the nomadic life, in which they would go with their sheep from place to place, and that would be their food, had a totally different society till today from the agricultural-based societies, which became permanent and ended up developing the earth in completely different ways. That's why when we talk about the Etzem Tera, which is the Eishes Chayil, remember Chayil equals Memches, which are the Memches Dvorim, which are Tera Nikdes Behem. So over there, the fundamental element of Tera is that it's Dorsha Tzemer Upishtim. That Dorsha Tzemer Upishtim goes back to that first bifurcation in human development. And so it means that the putting on the tefillin, putting on the tzitzit in the combination of Tzemer Upishtim Yachdav has to do with the shlemus of the Adam, who is capable of integrating all of the very profound different psychological, sociological, evolutionary aspects that led to two completely different worlds that are expressed instantly upon the departure from Gan Eden. This is how central it is. The Adam was sent out of Gan Eden, La'avad. He went in order to be La'avodes Ha'adamah, and that became two completely different ways of Laveyas Adama, which in the end, of course, becomes the Mabul and the destruction of all animal life, and the way that Noach himself is famous for developing agricultural implements, and so on. They're massively, over a period of millennia, massively different aspects of human development, insisting that there should be Davka, not only the concept of the Tzemer Upishtim, which is the substrate of the Tchelas, but in actually needing to go to one of the earliest products of evolution on the planet that continues to, unfortunately, not thrive as much as it once did, but these types of organisms that are snails living.
The chilazon?
Yeah, the chilazon. That what you're talking about is utilizing the material that they use essentially in their own milchamas and in their own finding of a mate and so on, as was recently understood, that it's not simply a matter of protection, but that it's part of the essence of the reproduction, of the competition of reproduction in the snail, is an incredible inclusion of the whole story of the development of the earth in the Metzias of Adam and his mitzvahs. So because of that, this is a chartem, you're able to see within that all of the aspects of mitzvahs, where mitzvahs are entirely the expression of what the Avedas HaAdam is. And in seeing the Tchelas and the Lavan together, the same way that the Gemara says, you'll remember the mitzvah of Shatnez, which just sounds so weird if you don't understand the importance of Shatnez to Tzitzit. So it's a vision that includes the entirety of the human condition. And that's the reason, if you think about it, that Cain and Hevel essentially brought the two completely different korbanos. One was a korban mincha, which was the korban of Cain, and one was the korban of Tzon, which was the korban of Hevel. That becomes the mocker of korbanos and Masechet Zevachim and Menachos, which is what we were talking about before, about why all of the dinim of what's more active on the other thing is part of Menachos, because that's the whole relationship of Menachos to Zevachim. So there's no more beautiful place to expect to find Perekat Chelet than right there in that original Machlokas Kain Vehevel, which is the Machlokas of Zevachim and Menachos itself. So that was a beautiful tutsa of today's daf. Okay, Rabosei, it's a little late, so we'll skip the...
Rabbi, a millennia and a half without Chelis. I mean, we were lost, right?
Yeah, well, don't you think we're still pretty lost?
Yes, I definitely do, but I mean...
It laid the ground for... the insanity that we live with today, in which the concept of Avedas Adam is, there's no such thing. People are involved in their little lives.
Yeah.
Okay, Rabosei.
It's back.
Well, right? hopefully the Adam is back. Okay. Kol tov, everyone. B'surot tovot, Yeshuot v'nechamot.